Welcome to the OKC Community Podcast. We are so glad you're here. To get the latest updates or to watch this week's message, visit our website at okccommunitychurch.com.
Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you that, God, you have something in store today. And I believe, Father, you have all of us here for a reason. So, Father, I pray for anybody that's here today, and maybe they're skeptical, or they're questioning, or they're curious. I pray for those who are hurting today, those who may be angry, maybe those who are hungry, those who are full of faith or hope or expectancy. Father, meet us wherever we're at today. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would create an atmosphere of curiosity and hope today. We love you, Lord. We invite you to move. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. How's everybody doing today? It's good to be with you. What a great time of worship. And, you know, if you're here today and you're new and this is your first time, welcome. And we do know that everybody comes in and shows up at a place like that, and we're all over the map in terms of just how we're doing in life. And today we're starting a three-week series. This is a short little mini-series that we are calling Living in the Groove. And in fact, why don't you just tell your neighbor right now, get in the groove. Tell another neighbor and say, I want you to get in the groove. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to make you get up and get your groove on right now. I did think about maybe all of us giving a dance praise today. I think that'd be fun. We got to, every once in a while, it's not that it's making a joyful noise, it's making a joyful move. You know what I'm saying? That's right. I know you guys are waiting for me to do that, but later in the series, you got to keep coming. You never know. So I really do want to have a little fun with this series, and I want to use music, and I want to use even dance and worship as the backdrop and really the metaphor of this entire series. And so let's just start with an easy question, shall we? How many of you like music? Raise your hand. How many of you like music? Very good. Most of us, we're off to a good start. If you don't like music, you're going to hate this message. I'm just kidding. You won't. It'll be great. Next question for you. What is your favorite song of all time? All right. I want you to think on this all-time favorite song. You're about to share it with your neighbor. So not your favorite artist, not your favorite band, your all-time favorite song. This is difficult, but go ahead and try and tell your neighbor your all-time favorite song. Go. Go ahead. We're at church. All right. Very good. Hey, I told you we're going to have a little fun, so I need some feedback real quick. Some of your favorite songs. Again, we are church, so I need clean songs, all right? Clean songs. Don't have to be, I'm okay if they're not worship, just clean. Anybody? What? So Into You. I don't know that song, but it's a good one. Huh? Africa. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Stand By Me. Yeah. Anybody else? Dream On. That's what I'm saying. Free Bird. Y'all want to know my favorite song? How about I just play it for you? DJ. Yes. Here's the thing about this song, right? There is a groove to this song. Listen, I have been doing, any Michael Jackson fans? I have been doing a human experiment for the last 20 years with this song. At random church events, I put it on just to see what happens. This song, 80% of people move to it. It's like they got to bob their head, they got to tap their toes, someone's getting their moonwalk on. Something's happening in this song. It's Billie Jean, right? I could have played Bleed It, I could have played Smooth Criminal, but it's Billie Jean. It's that groove. You know what I'm saying? All right, you can fade that out. I know you guys want to keep going with it. My favorite song is Billie Jean, but the close second was Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Don't stop believing, hold on to that. See, you guys know it. It's a song about not, everybody believes they can sing. Don't stop believing, you can sing. Right? We love music, we connect with songs. You know, couples, what do? They get songs, like they share playlists, and the longer you're together, you choose a song. Any couples in here, you have like a song. I'm not gonna make you share it. If you have a song, if you're a couple and you have a song, raise your hand. Yeah, you get a song, right? It represents something. Me and Christy sort of have a song. Meaning it's her ringtone when I call her. So whenever I call her, this song plays. But let's just play the song, okay? Let's just play the song. It has a little bit of an intro here, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. It makes me feel a little bit guilty because I guess I need to perhaps, would you say, call you a little bit more, baby? Because this is what she hears. I've called her. Yes. I feel a little guilty. This is how she's feeling every time I call her. She's like, finally, he remembered me. Your lonely days are gone, baby. Yes. Let's just let it go a little bit longer. That line right there, life is like a song. All right. That's a perfect cue. That preaches. Life is like a song. I really do believe life and music have a bit of a relationship, right? Life in many ways mirrors music. And there's a rhythm, there's a beat to life. And I believe with even with God, there's a rhythm, there's a beat in our life with God. And sometimes we are in beat and we are on rhythm, and sometimes we feel like, man, I am just not finding the groove. I'm not finding the song. I feel a little bit out of sync. And sometimes we even play a different song altogether. And there's a scripture, Psalm 89, that just kind of kick us off with this. I told you we're going to have a little fun. You guys want to have a little fun? But here's the deal, we're going to have fun, but we're going to allow the power of God's word and the power of what God is doing in this world to meet us right where we're at. You're here today for a reason, and I believe he wants to speak into your heart. We'll start with this verse, though. Your love, God, is my song. Everyone say, my song. My song. Your love, God, is my song, and I'll sing it. I'm forever telling everyone how faithful you are. I'll never quit telling the story of your love, how you built the cosmos and guaranteed everything in it. Imagine, right? You can just say that. You can declare it. Your love is my song. I'm forever telling the story of your love. Don't you want that to be the song that you never quit singing? Exodus 15:2 says this, the Lord is my strength and my song. Everyone say, my song. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. This is one verse of 18 verses that are in Exodus 15 that are the first song ever in recorded scripture. It's the song of Moses and Miriam. Miriam is the sister of Moses, so this would be the first collab project, right? They collaborate, they put a song together. It's the first song in the Bible, and it's out of this moment where God rescues his people from Egypt, splits the Red Sea, and they're like, oh, God, you are my song. You are my strength. You are so faithful. This is what pours out of them. So this idea that the Lord is my song, right? Like, it's an inviting idea, but it's not necessarily always really easy to figure out. It's a little confusing. Let's think of it this way, and I'm sure you're going to relate, but have you ever felt in life just a little bit out of sync, out of whack, out of step, out of tune, right? And I know we all have. You can't quite find the beat of what you want to do, much less who you want to be. You know, a couple weeks ago, I got up early on my day off, and I had a bunch of projects in mind to get done in my backyard, a little bit of spring projects that I was going to go and conquer. I was feeling good about it. Well, I got rolling, and it quickly became one of those days where nothing went right. You know what I mean? Where I everything I needed was either broken or missing, so I'd have to go to the store, and then I'd get to the store, and they didn't have it, so I'd have to go to another store. Then I'd say, okay, I'm going to start this different project. I think it's going to take me 30 minutes. It would turn into 3 hours. It was one of those days where at the end of the day, I got nothing done that I really hoped to get done, right? I didn't conquer anything. I felt a little more conquered myself. I never got into a rhythm. I never got into a groove. It was clunky all the way through. And I actually believe this little two steps forward, two steps back sort of thing, like this is life for many of us. Like we're kind of getting stuff done, but it never feels like we're really getting over the hump. And it's not like the groove of a song at all. It's more like a clunky two-step, right? And at the deeper level of your life and the deeper level of your faith, it's always two steps forward and two steps back. Meaning, there's days in which it's questions and doubts and you feel disconnected from God. And then all of a sudden you get into a season where it's like everything's great and you feel connected and you feel like you're energized. And then all of a sudden, once again, you don't. It's two steps forward and two steps back. Maybe for you, church was really good last year and you loved it and you were thriving. And then now all of a sudden, like, church is hard and it just doesn't feel the same as it used to feel. And you're always like, what is that all about? Why do I just feel like I can't just stay in beat and in rhythm with the Lord? And there's this back and forth. You want to find the groove, but you feel off. If that's you, I just want you to know you're not alone. And I've actually heard that a lot of times in life. I'm talking to a friend, or I'm, as a pastor, talking to someone in the church, and they describe, if they get vulnerable and share how they're doing, they'll use that phrase a lot. I just feel off. You ever said that? I just feel off. I don't know how to explain it. I can't put my finger on it. I feel off. I just feel like all of us have felt that, where we're either out of sync or out of tune or out of whack, distant. We want to find the groove, but we don't even know where to look. And a lot of times, the places we are looking for God, that's not even where God is. When we feel off, we start looking for God in the circumstantial matters of life, don't we? So it's like, how did the day go? How's the job going? You know, did he help you when you asked for help? Are the finances going well? Did God protect you? Did you find a great parking spot at the store? Man, it was a God thing. As if you got the parking spot 25 aisles away from the door, God is not good then? So God is good only when things are good? God is not good when things aren't good? What about the bad and terrible things that happen to good people? Isn't that like, what about the good and amazing things that happen to terrible people? We look for good in the circumstances of life, but how many know that God is not circumstantial? He is foundational. We know better, but we don't always live better. We know that God is always good, but we don't always feel that he's good. So how do we find God when we feel off, when we aren't even sure if we believe in the goodness of God? Well, I want to point you, if you will, to God's song today. Because there is a song that God has been playing. And it's a song that we can hear no matter where we're at in life, if we desire to. It's a song that we can even join in. Jesus himself came as the fullness of that song. It says this in Colossians 1:15. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, meaning Jesus is the image of God. We see the fullness of God in Jesus. And then in Colossians 2:9, basically the same statement, he says, for in Jesus is all the fullness of God in human form. We all know that Jesus is deity, the fullness of God, and he is the fullness of humanity. And he says, you want to see God in the flesh? Look at Jesus. Jesus is God in his fullness. Jesus is essentially God's song. Everything about him is the embodiment, is the rhythm, is the beat of what God wants to do in this world. His compassion, his power, his grace, his love, his wisdom, the friendship that he offers. We are often looking for God in the circumstances of life. Will he do things for us? Will he bless us? But God isn't found always in those things. We can praise God for how he moves and what he does through circumstances, but that is not how we feel in sync with the Lord. Because not every day will be good, but God will always be good. So we have to connect with the character of God, who God is, who is Jesus. Things like God is faithful, God is generous, God is forgiving, those are character traits, right? What do we sing songs about? We don't sing songs about circumstances, we sing songs about his nature. The things that are embodied in Christ. You know, I've read multiple books about the character, the nature, the attributes of God over the years, and they all are accompanied by a list of things. There's a list, right? This is who God is. We try and define him by words. Things like he's omnipotent, I mean, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient, I mean, he's all-knowing, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. How many of you guys know God is everywhere? Of course these are true. He's wisdom, he's sovereign, he's holy, he's eternal. I read the precise words that we define as the attributes of God, and I agree with them wholeheartedly. But how many of you guys know that God is beyond words? He's beyond precise words. He's more. For example, isn't he the joy that we experience, like when we're out with a group of friends? He's the sadness, though, and the pain that we feel whenever we hurt for someone who, just a couple weeks ago, lost their home in a tornado. He's the angst we feel when we see something unjust in the world. We say, that's not right. Something must be done. He draws near to us, but yet we know he's far from us. He is known to us, but there is so much unknown about God. His words and are a celebration of song, yet he's also silence. He's answers, but he's also this huge mountain of questions. The song of God is descriptive, yet it's beyond description. It's specific, yet transcendent. That's the groove that I'm talking about. One that's not like any other groove in the world. One that's everything, a joyful noise, and a powerful, thunderous silence. He's not only clear disciplines and beliefs about God, he's the mysterious grace and wonder and pain and trust that we have to put in God. It's tapping in and finding God in everything we do. It's even when we feel off, that statement, I'm just feeling off. Isn't that a sign? What do you mean you feel off? Off of what? There is a song, there is a beat, there is a rhythm to life that we are all searching for. And when we feel off, it's the indicator once again that life has more. God is calling you to something. He's pulling you in to his song. When we feel off, you have to ask yourself, what do you mean? What are you off from? You're off from who God wants you to be. If you want to connect with God in a deeper way, if you're here today and you're like, I want to connect with God in a deeper way, then in some ways it's really about learning more about his song. It's about playing the notes of his song. Remember, the notes are his character attributes. They're the things about God that are great, meaning it's like his notes are God is good, God is merciful, God is generous, right? God is selfless, God is light, God is truth, God is love. Those are the notes of his song. When we play those notes, we join his song. And it's easy to start playing other songs in life, though. We start thinking, well, maybe God isn't good, and so we start trying something else, or he's not truth. Or some of us live the song, if you will. We play the groove of productivity and work. We think that's where we're going to find the answers in life. That's where we're going to find satisfaction, and so we play that song over and over again. Some of us play the song of consumerism. We're thinking, man, the thing I really long for, the thing I really want is just more stuff. That's going to make me happy. And so we go after it. Nobody wants to reduce themselves to that kind of person. We're, oh, yeah, I'm all about that. But so many of us, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for satisfaction in more things. So we play that song. And some of us, we live in the groove of individuality. It's all about us. It's like, we want to know everything about us, and we want all of our life to be customized to our preferences and our wants and our desires and who we are and our talents and our giftings. And so it's like if there's anything outside of that, we're like, oh, no, that's not for me. It's all about, so it's everything is me-focused. We play that song. Do you live in the groove of those types of things? Maybe it's sadness, or maybe it's a lack of trust or anger or apathy in life. And it's easier than you think, and I think you'd agree with me on this, it's easier than you think to play a different song in life. And then we wonder, why do we feel off? In the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a man named Solomon who literally tried to play all the songs of life. All the songs you can think of, he tried them. If you've ever read Ecclesiastes, it's a fascinating book, worth your time. It's a little bit difficult to understand if you don't know what's going on, but King Solomon, he's the third king of Israel. He's the son of King David. And the whole book of Ecclesiastes is essentially a report on an experiment that he did about life. And it's clear that Solomon took several years to actually do this experiment. And it's all about the psychology of life. He was testing life. He was testing what had meaning and ultimate satisfaction. He starts testing everything. He tries accomplishments, pleasure seeking. And along the way, he asked God and asked himself, like, what actually has meaning? In other words, he was trying to find his own groove, wasn't he? So he writes about each of these. And at first, his example is he tests pleasure seeking. In other words, Solomon parties a lot. He has a lot of sex. He does a lot of drinking. He looked to enjoy life as much as he could. And at the end of it, at the end of that test, he said, this is all meaningless. It's empty. It's not enough. So he thought, well, maybe I should just build stuff. So he starts building great buildings and building great parks and gardens and libraries. And he thinks, is that going to accomplish it? And once again, it was empty and meaningless. So he tries to find other secrets of life. It's great knowledge or great wisdom. He reads all he can, and at the end of it, emptiness and meaninglessness. So at the very end of his book, in Ecclesiastes, there's this powerful word. After this years of testing life, finding and looking for meaning, he says this in chapter 12, verse 13. He says, now that all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Here's the conclusion of my test. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Solomon concluded that the highest goal of life is to fear God and to keep his commandments. You know, the Church of England, they summarize this verse with a particular belief, a doctrine that they've put over their entire church. And it says this, I'll put it on the screen, but it says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It's just a summary of that particular passage, and I love that. The chief end, the highest goal for you and me is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I mean, that sounds a bit like a song, doesn't it? There's a guy named Pete Gregg. He's an author. He's the founder of 24/7 Prayer. He shares a story about this great moment in his life where he was walking along just a city street, and the Lord prompted him and said, Pete, do you notice that tree? Pete said, yeah, Lord, I noticed the tree. And he expected God to kind of impress something else on him, like do something with the tree, climb the tree, I don't know, do something. But he said nothing else came. And so eventually he just realized it was like, I think God just wanted him to notice the tree. So he just prays, yeah, Lord, great job with the tree. And what I love about that little story is sometimes I think we overcomplicate God. We feel off. We feel like we're desperately searching for him. And it's really just about finding the notes. It's really just about going, oh yeah, God is good. God is merciful. God is generous. God is selfless. God is light. God is truth. God is love. It's believing that. Finding God and living, if you will, in the ways of God is like finding the groove of a song. It's like settling into a beat and into a rhythm. We often think life is about trying to play our own song. It's like looking and going, well, maybe I should write my own music. Maybe it should be the original. Maybe I need to be unique. I mean, that's what the world tells us, right? It's like, hey, go be the best you can be. Go be one of a kind. Be the first. What if the world has sold us something that the world doesn't even realize itself? The world doesn't realize that no one can do it on their own, right? Like, music is a collaboration. Every person who's a musical genius, person who can hear every note, imagine every part, write every lyric, they still can't do it on their own. They need musicians to fill the orchestra. They need musicians to play the instruments, to sing the songs. So what am I saying today? And this is a bit of a metaphor. This is a bit of something to tap into your heart at a deeper level. It's not just information coming at you. It's an emotion. It's a swell. It's a song. Maybe we don't have to write our own song in life. Maybe it's more like joining God's song. Maybe God is like this song that has been playing forever. There's no beginning and there's no end. Imagine a song that's like an eternal song. It's like an eternal jam, this epic beat in this rhythm to life. You know, God began the song, and there was a song. It started playing, and then on the scene, finally, angels show up, and God continues to go, and he keeps creating, right? He creates the heavens and the earth, and he creates humanity. He keeps going. The song keeps building. There's a rhythm and a beat to our days and to our seasons and to our years, and it's like the beat of a drum, like the sun rising every morning. It's like the stars shining every night. It's like the water flowing every second. It's like the seasons changing every year, right on beat. There is a song, and God is playing it, and he says, will you listen? Will you hear my beat? Will you join my chorus? And when we join a song, when we pick up an instrument, it's not like he's stripping us of our creativity or our uniqueness. It's not uniformity. God's song doesn't work like that. He's like, God says, I want you to be you in my song. I've created you for a specific purpose and a plan, but you got to play my song. If you keep trying to play your song, you're going to miss out. So maybe we should think of God in this context, like he is this beautiful song that's been playing across the ages. It is this eternal groove. And the song starts and ends with them. Jesus said it himself. He says, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha, the Omega. And what are his notes? I've said them like twice. I'm going to say them again. What are his notes? There's more than these. But the notes of his song are God is good. God is merciful. God is generous. God is selfless. God is light. God is truth. God is love. For thousands of years, humans have heard that song, and it's drawn them into something. It's drawn them in to say, I want to be a part of that. I want to join that song. It's saying all are invited. All are welcome. The song tells us God loves you. God sees you. God knows you. God wants you. So perhaps one of the ways we can look at life is that Jesus has been inviting us to play in this song with him, to start playing harmony, to start getting in tune with his song, joining the chorus, picking up the instrument. It's not always easy. I mean, if we were going to pick up our instrument, some of us, we pick it up and we're like, I don't even know what to do with it. And so we ask ourselves, like, well, how can I learn how to play God's song in life? And we look around and we wonder if you have what it takes. And so we give it a shot. And I hope you guys are ready for this, because it's not going to sound good. And it just, it's out of tune. The second time is not good. We're like, God, I don't even know if I can do this. Am I even the God song type? Maybe, God, I'm supposed to go blaze my own trail. Maybe I'm not really that person. Maybe that's for those people, but not for me. Maybe I'm not the God song type. Maybe I'm the original. And the pride of life will tell us you don't need God. You can do your own thing. But can I tell you something about that song? Even though the world promises that that'll be a great life, I'm telling you, it's a sad song, it's a lonely song, and it's a song that ends just by yourself, separate from the loving God. So what do we do? What's the first thing we gotta do? We gotta listen. We gotta listen to the song. We gotta find the groove. And it's one note at a time. We start to put ourselves in God's song, contributing in our own small way. Sometimes God just gives you four chords, but you just jam out with those four chords, baby. But you know what happens is, it's not easy, man. You stumble, you get out of tune. But whenever you do, what do? You listen. And you play the notes. Because God wants you to live in his groove. He's like, just play the notes. Whenever you don't know what to do, just play the notes. It's like, it's just as simple as this. God is good. So be good. God is merciful. So be a merciful person. God is generous. So be generous. God is selfless. So be selfless. Just start playing his song instead of your song. God is light. So go and shine your light. And God is love. So be a person of extravagant love. It's his endless hallelujah. What is it? What's that verse? Lord, your love is my song. So we're going to sing today. We're going to get into this. We're going to let a holy roar come up into this place that says, God, we want to be in tune with your spirit, in tune with who you've called us to be. So I need everybody to stand up right now, and I'm going to pray over us. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to come. God, we need you today. For anybody in this room right now that has felt off, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they can hear your song calling to them. For those who've drifted, they're believers, but they've drifted. May they hear your beautiful song today. May they find the notes. For those, Father, that don't know if they even know you, may they hear your song today. Calling to them, inviting them in. God says, all are welcome in my kingdom, and all are welcome in my song. So we play the notes. God is good. God is merciful. God is generous. God is selfless. God is love. Let's sing it out to him today. Let's worship him. Let's sing it. It's his song from beginning to end. It's an eternal song. It's one that does not end. Sing it out. Allow this to be a time of worship. For the next 10, 15 minutes, I just want you to open your heart to him. Sing to him.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If there's anything we can pray with you about, or if you have questions about God, we'd love to talk with you. Please visit our contact page at okccommunitychurch.com.